Catholic commentary. Spiritual warfare. Stay ready so you don't have to get ready.
Jesus 911.
We're a two-man car. We're 10-8, and glad to be back. I took a week off. I was under the weather doing some apostolic work. So here I am.
you're taking the souls out of purgatory, Reuben.
Yeah, there you go. That's right. That's apostolic.
That's right. Redemptive suffering. I know what that's all about. I went through it last year.
That's right, Jesse. It's good to be back, Jesse. And you know, there's a lot going on in. In our world and. You know, I just wanted to remind those we got a lot of people that are leaning towards tradition now, and I know that if you want to call yourself a traditionalist, let's do it. Let's go full bore. Let's go all in. And just, you know,
Reuben, I'll be honest with you. You've been doing this for a long time, so I have to admit I'm going to compliment you. You've been very consistent for like 20 years. You haven't
25.
Yeah, you haven't released the pedal from the metal, and you've been very consistent. But I'll tell you who's had a big effect on the Catholic Church, because I go all over the country, Reuben. Taylor Marshall he's got a huge footprint in getting people to take a second look at the Latin Mass, people like myself that never really, you know, we didn't grow up around it.
Yeah.
But Taylor Marshall, I'm in Texas, right? I'm in Kennedy, Texas. Everywhere I go, Reuben, faithful Catholics, what I would call is like, you know, conservative, Vatican II conservatives, like I was, okay?
Yes.
Are starting to discover the Latin Mass. So I have to say, you've been doing this a lot longer than Taylor. So I take my hat off to you.
Well, I just want to remind everybody that we're in Ember Week. So tomorrow's an Ember Day. You want to go, you know, you want to be traditional. Let's do this. It's a penitential season, right? We just had Sunday. We had Gaudete Sunday, which... It gives us a little reprieve from our penance, and we're celebrating. But now we put the pedal back, our foot back on the pedal, and we're going to be doing some penance this week. So tomorrow, Friday and Saturday, you know, we do prayer and penance, and the masses. You'll see that there's extra readings on Wednesday, and 5 extra readings on Saturday. The mass of each Saturday Ember Day is structured like an Easter vigil, and with the 5 prophecies, Old Testament readings. Followed by the Epistle, Gospel, and the rest of the Mass as usual. But there's also a chant and a prayer between each reading. So we're going to be doing some fasting, okay? So it's like you were in Lent. So those of you who are just coming into tradition, you know, prayer, penance, and also it's during this time, this season. Remember, this is it's also used for ordinations. You know, a series of readings. I remember Saturday. Could introduce ordinations to a succession of minor and major orders. So we're going to pray for more priests, holy priests to the...
Amen.
Yeah. So I just want to remind everybody, let's not forget that.
Good reminders, Reuben. Keep on doing that. Every time something comes up that has to do with a traditional calendar, I'm gonna expect you to just remind the audience, remind all of us. Again, because again, I'm new to this as well. So I need to be reminded of this as well.
Yeah, so we don't eat meat on Fridays all throughout the year, okay? Just so you know, we're...
I'm on board with that, Reuben. Right. I found that out from the FSSP priest. I'm on board with that.
Good. Okay.
Yeah. Hey, let's talk a little bit about Reuben. There's a videotape confession from a Chinese, a guy's name's Di Dongsheng. And this guy basically says everything that we've suspected. He says that Americans had no idea of the level of funny business at the 2020 election. And I'll tell you one thing. Everybody was thinking Russia, Russia, Russia. No, it was China.
Yeah.
China was the foreign power that actually got involved. And there's a videotape confession that has basically confirmed everybody's worst fears about what President Trump calls the rigged election. And the guy, the protagonist, his name is Di Dongsheng. He's the vice dean of the School of International Relations at Renmin University. He gave a talk in November about, guess what? The communist Chinese government's influence operation in America. And also he gave his thoughts on Donald Trump, Joe Biden, and the 2020 election. So Di Dongsheng, the vice dean of the School of International Relations, His talk was chilling. It was frightening. And in fact, if you want to see it, you can go on YouTube. Tucker Carlson from Fox News, he's an evening commentator. He played several clips where Dong Sheng bragged that the communist Chinese government had sleeper agents planted in the highest levels of the elite American institutions, and they've been manipulating American policy. Ruben, this reminds me of Senator Joe McCarthy saying this back in the 50s. This reminds me of Bella Dodd saying the same thing in the 50s, and she wrote all this in The School of Darkness. This also reminds me of an old Tan classic book, which is called AAA Apostle 1025.
That's right.
There's a lot of evidence, Ruben, in political history and in Catholic history that we have been infiltrated, penetrated very deeply by Chinese communists.
You know, Trump was the only one who was saying that China poses the biggest threat. Everybody was saying Russia, 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 like you said, but it's China, and China has not tried to hide it. They want to be the leader. They want to run the world and militarily and economically, and you know, with technology and everything. So, yeah, I saw that on Tucker Carlson, and then you know, when you sent me this article, I was like, wow, you know, this is no longer on the web. Matter of fact, it's been taken down from.
It doesn't surprise me. Yeah,
of course. And so, yeah. You know, Jess, what I'm thinking and what I'm hearing from my, you know, from, you know, the Patriot sources and, you know,
yeah.
Q, and I can't, you know, confirm anything, but this is just what they're saying, is that, you know, Trump could go ahead and do a couple of things. He could invoke the Insurrection Act and get the military behind him and maybe call in martial law. And, you know, he does have the military on his side, by the way, but there's also that executive order that he wrote up, a foreign policy executive order back in September of 2018. And that, again, the Democrats were thinking, oh, he was talking about Russia. But he was thinking about China. And it says, the President of the United States of America find that the ability of persons located in whole or substantial part outside the United States to interfere or undermine public confidence in the United States elections, including through the unauthorized accessing of election and campaign infrastructure or the covert distribution of propaganda and disinformation, constitutes an unusual and extraordinary threat to the national security and the foreign policy of the United States. Although there has been no evidence of a foreign power altering the outcome of vote tabulation in the United States election, foreign powers have historically sought to exploit America's free and open political system. In recent years, the proliferation of digital devices and internet-based communications has created significant vulnerabilities and magnified the scope and intensity of the threat of foreign interference, as illustrated in the 2017 Intelligence Community Assessment. I hereby declare a national emergency to deal with this threat.
And it
goes on.
So he's already... He already had some foresight into this, this is what he would be dealing with 2 years from when he signed that executive order. You know, I'm going to tell you, Ruben, President Trump has allowed, as a result of his presidency, all this has surfaced to the top, because it was all underneath the surface and none of us really knew about it. But now the pus is oozed all the way to the top. And now we see it clearly. Whether they steal this election from him or not, now we know maybe this is God's way of saying all of us got to get in here and fight now and just not leave it to the president of the United States by himself. All of us now, there's corruption in our elections by the Democrat Party, an infiltration of communism into our country. Now, hopefully, it energizes 75 million Americans to get involved.
Jesse, I have to say it, we're under the Fatima curse, because she warned us that Russia would spread her evil ways. And here we are. No one ever thought that we would be at this point where we are today. And here, you know, you see this with these lockdowns and you know, small businesses losing their shirts and just going out of business. They can't survive. And the big tech, the big business, and, you know, like
they're not affected.
No, they're not at all. So they don't care. In fact, those are their population control people. So they want less people. And, and said, I don't care if these people lose their business and their family. They have to, they want them to rely on the government.
Amen.
Yeah.
Let me just mention to you this article. It says here, Deng Sheng hinted that China resolved its trade dispute with President Trump by rigging the election against the president. It makes sense to me.
Yeah.
This guy's saying that because of Trump's tariffs against China, this is why they went after him. They rigged the election because of that. It says here, Deng Sheng stated, we fixed everything in 2 months. What's the reason? I'm going to throw out something maybe a little bit explosive here. It's just because we have people at the top. At the top of America's core inner circle of power and influence, we have our old friends, close quote. Ruben, this is exactly what a lot of Catholics investigators, you know, say that, again, this happened in the Vatican and in the Catholic Church, USCCB, that we have some communists on the top. Bela Dodd told us that. There's also strong evidence that Theodore McCarrick, former disgraced cardinal, that he was a communist. People that have done an expose on his life said that he spent like four years in Europe with communists before he entered into the seminary. So without a doubt, what this guy Deng Sheng is saying is consistent with Catholic history. Again, AA Anti-Apostle 1025, infiltration by Taylor Marshall, Bela Dodd School of Darkness. Ruben, the deep state in the government and the deep state in the church are one and the same.
Absolutely, Jess.
They work together.
You know, this Deng Sheng, he said that that Wall Street had, there was things going on in Wall Street, but Wall Street could not, you know, they could not buy, Trump was not being able to be bought by Wall Street. So that's why they couldn't get past him. And that for 4 years, I mean, even before he took his seat in office, they were trying to get him out.
Yeah, well, Ruben, Trump has been like for the little guy, Joe Sixpack, the blue collar guy, the middle class. He's been our firewall against communism, yeah. And now they're trying to remove him.
Yeah, it's going to be a full court press up until now, until January 20th. So
yeah,
people don't.
Let's go to break. We go to break. Okay. Richard just said, "Yep, okay." You've been listening to Jesus 911. We'll be right back. Ruben and Jesse, we'll be right back.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
We're back. Jesus 911, two-man call. Ruben Ava, Jesse Romero. Ruben, we're talking about D. Deng Sheng. He's no lightweight, Ruben. He's the vice dean of the School of International Relations at Renmin University. And he's given a talk. It's on YouTube. It's probably been taken down because it was on Tucker Carlson. But essentially, he's saying that the communists have infiltrated the United States. And here's what he says. In another clip, Deng Sheng claimed that China manipulated past U.S. presidents, George Bush, Bill Clinton, George Bush II, Barack Obama, through the communist Chinese government purchasing influence through Wall Street. And again, like you said, Deng Sheng says they couldn't buy Donald Trump. Wall Street found out that they couldn't buy Donald Trump. This is why they turned against him. They had the Chinese go after him. Deng Sheng said, for the past 30 to 40 years, we've been utilizing the core power of the United States. As I said before, since the 1970s, Wall Street had a very strong influence on the domestic affairs of the United States. So we had a channel to rely on. But the problem is that after 2008, the status of Wall Street has declined. And more importantly, after 2016, Wall Street can't fix Trump. Why? Trump had a previous soft default issue with Wall Street, so there was a conflict between them, but I don't want to go into details. Finally, Deng Sheng chuckled at the fact that Joe Biden may be the next president, and Deng Sheng mocked him as a typical establishment sap who China ran circles around. And so Deng Sheng mentioned the Biden's family's close ties to Wall Street, as well as Hunter Biden's foreign business deals, as evidence that the Chinese compromised the Biden family, and that if Joe Biden serves as president, China would have a puppet in the White House. Ruben, comments?
Hey, Jess.
Yeah.
Yeah. But you know what? When Hunter Biden's laptop information came out, We all saw for ourselves, things that were being released, that he was compromised, and the left didn't allow any of that information to be released. You know, what's interesting now is that now that he's got the number of electors, I mean, it's not over, but they think he's in a pretty spot. Now the media is starting to start allowing this stuff to come out because they don't want him in there. That's not their man. He was just a puppet that they stole.
Kamala Harris is her man.
Yeah, exactly. And so yeah. That's what's so interesting is now they're allowing this stuff to start seeping out and finding out that the DOJ has been investigating Hunter for a couple of years, you know, and that's what I think upset Trump about his AG Barr, that he had he didn't let it be known before the election that there was an investigation going on, which is part of their strategy. The DOJ doesn't ever confirm or deny what they're doing. I mean, I've worked with feds, and they are so tight-lipped. I remember working, being involved in some FBI briefings, and they are close to the vest. They want everything from you. Give me all your information. Then when you tell them, okay, well, we're not allowed to discuss it because it's an ongoing investigation. Are you kidding me? Come on, man. We just shared our heart out, and then you don't want to share anything with us. And that was over that shooting at LAX a few years back where that TSA agent was killed. So it was a big federal dog and pony show. Anyway, so you're right. So Joe Biden is compromised, and China knows it. They know that that's why they wanted him in there, because they're going to have their way with him.
They got their man in the Reuben, and Dong Sheng, this is the last thing he says in the article. He says, but now we're seeing Biden was elected. The traditional elite, the political elite, the establishment, they're very close to Wall Street. Do you see that? Right. He says, and again, just to end this segment, Trump has been saying that Biden's son has some sort of global foundation. And have you noticed who's helped out Biden's son build a foundation? Well, it was China. Mm-hmm. Ruben, let's move on to Father Ratzinger. 1969, he gave a German broadcast. Father Joseph Ratzinger, who later became Cardinal Ratzinger, who later became Pope Benedict XVI. And in 30 or 40 years of writing, I find a lot of what he writes very interesting. Sometimes he writes like very prophetic. He admits very early on that he was a liberal, but he definitely morphed into a more orthodox conservative theologian and cardinal. But this article, it talks about what he predicted about the future of the world. If you want to share the article that jumps out at you, you have it there with you?
Yeah, I have it right here. The first quote they attribute to him is he said, let us therefore be cautious in our prognostications. What Saint Augustine said is still true. Man is an abyss. What will rise out of these depths no one can see in advance, and whoever believes that the church is not only determined by the abyss that is man, but reaches down into the greater infinite abyss that is God, will be the first to hesitate with his predictions. For this naive desire to know for sure could only be the announcement of his own historical ineptitude. So we can't determine what's going to go on in the future.
Right. We can't. But he did make some interesting comments. This is back in 1969. I think there's five powerful comments here. The first one he says is this. 1969, German radio broadcast. Father Joseph Ratzinger says, the future of the church can and will issue from those whose roots are deep and who live for the pure fullness of their faith. I hope that describes all the listeners and us here. It will not issue from those who accommodate themselves. Ah, accommodation. Wow, that seems to be the buzzword these days in the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
Those who accommodate themselves merely to the passing moment, or from those who merely criticize others and assume that they themselves are infallible measuring rods. Nor will it issue from those who take the easier road, who sidestep the passion of faith, declaring false and obsolete, tyrannous and legalistic, all that makes demands upon men that hurts them and compels them to sacrifice themselves. Look at this statement from Father Ratzinger. To put this more positively, the future of the church, once again, as always, will be reshaped by saints, by men, that is, whose minds, probe deeper than the slogans of the day, who see more than others see, because their lives embrace a wider reality. I think what he's trying to tell us here is that a lot of people, secular churchmen, liberals, they don't see beyond money. They don't see beyond the next meeting. They don't see beyond the next deal that they're negotiating. But a man of faith looks deep into the eyes of eternity, and we realize that there's going to be a day of death, judgment, heaven, and hell. And in this paragraph, Father Ratzinger talks about those people that are short-sighted, even churchmen that are short-sighted. He says it's because of the narcotic of some pleasure or other. Mm. Ruben, what's the second paragraph that Father Ratzinger quotes?
The word unselfishness makes men free is attained only through the patience of a small daily acts of self-denial.
That's what you talked right at the beginning of the show, Ember Days.
But this daily passion, which alone reveals to a man in how many ways he's enslaved by his own ego. You know, and you know, these men are enslaved to sex, drugs, rock and roll, pornography at the touch of a mouse, as well as assortment of other addictions. And you know, people don't want to look at their own faults, but you know, we're all called to suffer. We're all called to pick up our cross and follow Jesus, right? So by this daily passion and by it alone, a man's eyes are slowly opened. He sees only to the extent that he has lived and suffered. If today we are scarcely able any longer to become aware of God, that is because we find it so easy to evade ourselves, to flee from the depths of our being by means of the narcotic of some pleasure or other. And that's what you said. So thus, our own interior depths remain closed to us if it is true that a man can see only with his heart, but then how blind we are. Mm. We are blind.
Yeah. Father Ratzinger says, this is a 1969 German broadcast. It gets better. He says, how does all this affect the problem we're examining? It means that the big talk of those who prophesy a church without God, this is right now, Ruben, we're prophesying a church without God. Mm-hmm. The current administrators of the Catholic Church. He's talking about what's happening right now. He says, a big talk of those who prophesy a church without God and without faith is all empty chatter. We have no need of a church that celebrates the cult of action in political prayers. That's today, mm-hmm. Reuben. That's today's church. It is utterly superfluous. Therefore, it will destroy itself. What will remain in the Church of Jesus Christ, the church that believes in God, who has become man and promises life beyond death? The kind of priest who is no more than a social worker can be replaced by the psychotherapist and other specialists. But the priest who's no specialist, who does not stand on the sidelines watching the game, giving official advice, but in the name of God places himself at the disposal of man who is beside them in their sorrows, in their joys, in their hope, and in their fear, such a priest will certainly be needed in the future. So Father Ratzinger criticizes some priests have seen themselves no more as a 9-to-5 CEOs or social workers, and they're not willing to put their priesthood on the line. They don't have the spirit of St. Maximilian Kolbe. He's saying the priests that we need in the third millennium are priests like Father Maximilian Kolbe, priests like Blessed Miguel Pro, priests who throw themselves at the feet of the Lady. Yes. Ruben?
That's right. You know, when a priest takes his eyes off himself and puts it on his spiritual children, then and only then will he be able to fulfill his calling as an altar Christus. You know, remember Jesus.
Amen.
Jesus said, for the Son of Man is not come to be ministered unto, but to minister and to give his life for redemption for many. Mark 10, 46. So that's what our priests have to be. Their calling is to be another Christ. And
by the way, Reuben, Archbishop Fulton Sheen back in the 70s told lay people in the speech he gave in Washington, he said, lay people are going to save the church. And then he said, lay people teach your priests to be priests. Lay people teach your bishops to be bishops. Mm. Can you imagine? I'm sure that didn't go over too well with the bishops and priests that were in the audience. Can you imagine that type of statement? Yeah. But it's well taken. As Catholics, a lay person is not called to jump into the sanctuary and start passing out the body of Christ. That's not what active participation means. Active participation for us as Catholics starts outside the doors of the church. The society, that's where we as Catholics have to evangelize. Our goal is to evangelize the lay faithful. And again, as Fulton Sheen says, encourage our priests and bishops and pray for them, but also hold them accountable as well.
That's right. And, I know you guys talked about it, I think on another show, but, you know, the nativity scene, you know, he talked,
yeah.
that was just, appalling that, and I mean, does it even surprised me, I would say. I had I was just taken aback by it. It was so...
Ruben, be specific. We're talking about the nativity scene right now in the Vatican that's been put up right now is the ugliest nativity scene on planet Earth that most people consider blasphemy. In fact, I read an article that somebody saying that the figures in the nativity scene are the figures of Moloch. Who is Moloch?
Oh, boy.
Moloch is an Old Testament demon who the Canaanites and the Philistines would offer child sacrifice. Mm. He's the demon of child sacrifice. And so something, Houston, we got problems when the Vatican has a nativity scene with figurines of Moloch. Once again, this is just the extension of Pachamama, a demon earth goddess from South America. Ruben, we have problems right now.
Yeah, Jesse. And, you know, when people, Catholics needed something.
I hear the music.
Yeah, well, Catholics needed something to warm their hearts this Christmas, and this is what they give us. You know, we've had all these problems. Churches closed, no confessions, no sacraments. My God, and they give us this. Unbelievable. We're listening to Jesus 911. Be right back.
We'll continue. We'll continue on this article.
All right. Be right back.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911, we are back. Just want to let the listeners know that we will be out at the March for Faith rally on December 20th. That's this Sunday at the Cathedral of Our Lady of the Angels. And that's going to be from 12 to 2 o'clock. So you want to assemble maybe a little earlier. The event begins at noon, so you know, maybe bring a water bottle. It could be a little chilly, so bring a jacket. And you may want to bring if you want to bring a face mask, you're welcome to. I don't use a face mask. And but we're out there with there's also another group out there with us that's joining with us, and also we're trying to get the Archbishop to open up the churches for Christmas. And, you know, you're hearing victories.
Ruben, you have the Supreme Court on your side.
You
guys
know.
Won. You guys won. The FSSP priest won the case.
SSPX, yeah. They won their case.
Oh, SSPX, SSPX.
And so why don't they strike while the iron is hot? Why doesn't the Archbishop get on board right now? Why, Jesse? Because they've got their hands outstretched, taking handouts from the government. So they don't want to bite
the
hand
right.
to feed them. Yeah, follow the money.
That's right.
Yeah. So hopefully we see you out there on Sunday. I'll be out there.
Well, God bless that priest, Bruin, for the SSPX. This guy, because of him, this guy won a huge victory for every Catholic church in California. And they owe it to this priest's courageousness. Whatever people, you know, criticism they have about the SSPX, I'll tell you one thing. These priests have definitely showed some apostolic zeal, and they need to be commended for that.
I talked to him yesterday, and Sunday, and he says he's willing to come on our show next week to talk about.
Wow, to talk about this?
Yes,
Ruben, that would be good.
Okay,
I would be. Thanks for facilitating that. Absolutely, I mean, without a doubt, this man's courage is something that inspires everybody. What he did. He took on a very powerful governor by himself. I mean, he didn't have basically any bishop support or any other priests around him. I mean, he was like a man in an island going up against. This was David and Goliath. So if you can get it for next week, that would be great.
Yeah, next Tuesday. Okay.
Well, let me go into this. Father Ratzinger says in this article, 1969 German broadcast, and he predicts the future of the church. Here's what he says. Quote, let us go a step farther. From the crisis of today, the church of tomorrow will emerge. A church that has lost much. Remember, he said this in 1969, so this is already 4 years after Vatican II. He's probably already seen some of the unraveling. He says, she will become small. This is the church. Well, we're down to 8% of Catholics going to Mass, so I think we qualify for what he's talking about. She will become small. And will have to start afresh more or less from the beginning. She will no longer be able to inhabit many of the edifices she built in prosperity. As the number of her adherents diminishes, so it will lose many of her social privileges. In contrast to an earlier age, it will be seen much more as a voluntary society, entered only by free decision. As a small society, it will make much bigger demands on the initiative of her individual members. Undoubtedly, it will discover new forms of ministry and will ordain to the priesthood approved Christians who pursue some profession. In many smaller congregations or in self-contained social groups, pastoral care will normally be provided in this fashion. Alongside this, the full-time ministry of the priesthood will be indispensable as formerly, but in all of the changes at which one might guess, the church will find her essence afresh and with full conviction in that which was always at her center, faith in the triune God in Jesus Christ, the Son of God made man, in the presence of the Spirit until the end of the world. In faith and prayer, she will again recognize the sacraments as the worship of God and not as a subject for liturgical scholarship. What Father Ratzinger just says right here, I think we're living it out right now. The church has gotten a lot smaller. Yeah. You only have 8% of Catholics in the United States attending Holy Mass on Sunday or making an attempt to. One of the things that I think that has to happen, the church is just, we've wedded ourselves to the world. I mean, we have huge college universities that major on football teams and sports and get these huge grants from these millionaire and billionaire CEOs around the country. And this is the way this is why they start basically redacting the church's teachings within these colleges, because you have, you know, Buddhists there, Protestants, atheists, and they're getting federal funding. We have to get rid of all that, Ruben, yeah. Become much smaller, even in our universities. And I'll tell you where I see this is happening, where people are going to smaller, self-contained social groups, like Father Ratzinger says. I'm seeing this, Ruben, in Latin Mass communities. They're small. They don't focus on, you know, CYO or big, or sports programs. They focus on the sacraments. They focus on prayer. They focus on holiness. They're small congregations, but they're vibrant. People have zeal. People want to be Catholic, want to follow Jesus. You see that diehard Catholicism. I see, prophetically speaking, the emergence of the Latin Mass communities as part of the fulfilled prophecy of Father Ratzinger.
Oh, absolutely, Jesse. They're growing all over the country. Even at Guasti in Ontario, they had to add a third Latin Mass on Sundays because obviously. it's the numbers are they're only allowed 100 people, but they had to get a third Mass because there's just too much desire for it. It was a lot of people bringing their kids and even at I talked to other people, FSSP, SSPX, they're being inundated with new members, new people coming into the fold, which is fantastic. And they're kind of pushing back on these shepherds that are false shepherds that are not giving their flock the sacraments and not giving them, you know, a good apostolic teaching, good, you know, all the perennial teachings that the church has come down through the years with. And I see that as, like you said, this is a necessary requirement for us to return. We're going to be smaller. But, it's the remnant. Jesus even said that, you know, that there will be a remnant. But, and he said, will I find any faith when I return?
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Yeah. And Reuben, there was in the Old Testament, God always spoke about even his remnant in Israel at the time of the kings. He said, he told Elijah, he goes, God, is there anybody else that has faith out there but me? He's in a cave hiding from the wicked king, Queen Jezebel and King Ahaz. And God tells Elijah, he says, I have 7,000 Israelites who have not bowed their knee to the false god Baal. He says, I always have a remnant. Same with the New Testament. St. Paul says in Romans chapter 11, verse 5, that God will always have a remnant. So you're absolutely right. But this actually comports with what Jesus Christ says, our Lord, about salvation in Matthew 22 and others, Luke 13. He says, many are called, few are chosen. He says, strive to enter by the narrow gate. Mm-hmm. For a few people find it, but many people walk the way of destruction, which is the wide path. And so again, the remnant, Reuben, we do not believe in universal salvation. That's not taught by the Catholic Church. Don't be fooled by it. We have to work out our salvation with fear and trembling.
That's right. Yeah. So let's the next quote that they attribute to, well, from his talk in 1969.
Yeah, radio broadcast, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Father Ratzinger said, "The church will be more spiritual church, not presuming upon a political mandate, flirting as little with the left as with the right. It will be hard going for the church, for the process of crystallization and clarification will cost her much valuable energy. It will make her poor and cause her to become the church of the meek. The process will all be the more arduous, for sectarian narrow-mindedness as well as pompous self-will will have to be shed. One will predict that all of this will take time. The process will be long and wearisome, as was the road from the false progressivism on the eve of the French Revolution, when a bishop might be thought smart if he made fun of dogmas and even insinuated that the existence of God was by no means certain to the renewal of the 19th century." And, you know, we're seeing a lot of these modernists that have infected our church, and they're coming up with, you see the German bishops, you see the, you know, all things that are going on with the, you know, the Pachamama, and they're trying to presume that this is what the people want, and it's not, it's not what we want. We want the teachings of the church, you know. It's, you go ahead, Jess, if you want to.
It says, "But when the trial of this sifting is passed, a great power will flow from a more spiritualized and simplified church. Men in a totally planned world will find themselves unspeakably lonely. If they have completely outside of God, they will feel the horror of their poverty. Then they will discover the little flock of believers as something wholly new. They will discover it as a hope that is meant for them, an answer for which they have always been searching for in secret." Again, here's what this is the way I read this as well, Reuben. You got these very huge churches around, like just take the Washington Cathedral. You got all the rich and the famous there. I mean, some parishes over there in Santa Monica, the rich and the famous, you know, Governor Schwarzenegger, a lot of actors. I see, Reuben, these big churches where the rich and famous go, the Nancy Pelosi's, Joe Biden. I think there's very little faith in there. It's a big show.
Yeah.
It's like, it's you know, heaven is going to be filled with a bunch of people in churches from third world countries, Nigeria, you know, Panama, deep parts of Mexico, Uruguay, you know, Syria, these insignificant little churches that almost look like caves where people, Reuben, really have nothing. They're living from week to week, from hand to mouth, but their faith is so pure in Jesus Christ, versus going to Santa Monica, you know, St. Monica's in Santa Monica, where you can see all the actors and the rich and famous and all these politicians, Villaraigosa and others. Reuben, I think this is what Father Ratzinger is talking about. Those churches, Reuben, there's very little faith in those churches. There's a lot of money. There's a lot of famous people there. But you're going to see in heaven, those that are going to get to heaven are going to be thousands and thousands of people from these little insignificant churches around the world where they had humility and faith like a child. They weren't governed by money. They were governed by pure faith in Jesus Christ and his holy gospel.
You're right. Absolutely, Jess. All right, listen to Jesus 911. We are talking about Cardinal Ratzinger, well, when he was Father Ratzinger. Be right back. Don't chase that dial.
Now, back to Jesus 911. If this call is not an emergency, dial 888-526-2151.
Jesus 911. If you stay ready, you don't have to get ready. And we're giving you some fuel so that you can take what Father Ratzinger said. And he was not a prophet, but he sounds like he could be.
Reuben, he definitely, in 40 years of writing, here and there, he definitely has made a lot of prophetic utterances. And this is one of them. This, by the way, comes from it's a German broadcast in 1965, which turned into a book. It's called Faith in the Future. It's was released by Ignatius Press. And here's the last thing that he essentially says. He says, "And so it seems certain to me that the church is facing very hard times. The real crisis has scarcely begun. We will have to count on terrific upheavals, you think? But I'm equally certain about what will remain at the end. Not the church of the political cult, which is dead already, but the church of faith. Reuben, that's what he's talking about right now. There's two churches. You got the church of the political cult and the church of faith. And I want to make sure that everybody out there listening, that you're part of the church of faith and not part of the church of, you know, the Wuhan virus, the coronavirus, the Bill Gates, you know, follow the money, that you're part of the church of faith. It ends by saying, it may well no longer be the dominant social power to the extent that she was until recently, but the church will enjoy a fresh blossoming and be seen as man's home, where he will find life and hope beyond death. The Catholic Church will survive in spite of men and women, not necessarily because of them. And yet we still have to do our part. We must pray and cultivate unselfishness, self-denial, faithfulness, sacramental devotion, and a life centered on Jesus Christ. Amen.
Jesse, it reminds me of what Athanasius, St. Athanasius said back in the Arian crisis. He says, you guys...
Have the buildings,
but we have the faith.
Have the faith.
And this Amen. Is... What we're seeing now is that it's almost like the church in China, where it's, it's a political church, it's a state-run church, and the real Catholics are the underground Catholics that have been suffering for years, prior, even before the changes to the Mass, and they're out there on their knees, they're celebrating the Latin Mass in private, and they're being persecuted. Yeah, you're going to see that the church is losing a lot of money because people aren't attending. People are giving their money elsewhere because of the scandals. They paid off tons of money. Even what was it in the LA diocese, $700 million?
Yes. Yeah, by the time I left 5 years ago, it was $700 million when I left 5 years ago. But still, little lawsuits keep coming up. I heard it's up to about $1 billion that the LA Archdiocese have paid off in sexual homosexual predator lawsuits. It's about $1 billion right now.
Yeah. And so what they're finding themselves, they're selling off schools, they're selling off churches, and so the properties, we're losing properties.
This is predicted by Father Ratzinger, Ruben.
Yeah. And it's a shame. It's a shame that this doesn't have to be, but they've lost their moral compass, Jesse. And, we would normally rely on a shepherd sitting at the top that could direct us. We would look to him to get our guidance, the bark of Peter. And unfortunately, it is not, he's not there. He's a figurehead, but it's not what we've seen in the past from the Pius the 12th, Pius the 10th, and,
right.
Leo
Reuben,
13th.
Yeah, there's a verse in Scripture. It's in 1 Corinthians chapter 14. I'll look it up right now, but St. Paul says this, that he says basically, where will the people go when the trumpet is silent? Mm-hmm. What St. Paul is talking about there is when the apostolic leadership, when they're not blowing the trumpets, because remember, trumpets in the Old Testament, they were used for liturgy and war, to call in war and for the worship of God. That St. Paul says, even in his day and age, that the apostolic trumpets in Corinth, were silent. So where are the people going to go? I would say right now, most of the apostolic trumpets in the world today are silent. And so Catholics and stuff, where are the soldiers of Christ going to go? They don't hear any direct communication. The trumpets are silent. And this is why this is important, Ruben. Podcasts such as this, what we put out here in Virgin Most Powerful, because what we're trying to do is actually we're trying to give people hope, A, B, trying to build people's faith, and also trying to give people spiritual direction to how to navigate in these crazy times that we live in. And so it's important to cut your teeth on good Catholic podcasts. And I'll tell you right now, Establishment Catholic Radio and stuff, their numbers have dwindled because people know it's basically, you're going to hear the establishment type, parroting whatever comes out of the USCCB's, communications department. And people want authentic spiritual edification for times like this.
Jesse, just like we've lost confidence in our electoral system, and our politicians. We've lost faith in our church leaders. And like you said, the USCCB, it's part of the deep state. So we're not getting what we need to get from them. And so you're seeing people, like you said, coming on board. You know, I thank our listeners. Our numbers have shot up through like a meteor, and I'm happy for it. We thank the listeners, and you know, if you like it, like the show, hit like and share it with others, and also consider giving this time of the year. You know, just like everywhere else, you know, finances are tight, and so we want to be able to broadcast this far and wide. So,
amen.
Consider making a charitable donation this Christmas.
Amen.
Yeah, that's what's happening in the church. They're down lots of money, Jesse. And I know that I'm not giving it to the conciliar church. I'm finding other ways to give my money.
Yeah, there's a lot of good organizations within the church to give to. I'm not giving right now to the establishment, which is basically the USCCB. I'm just not, because the bugles are silent, Ruben. They're not giving me any direction. In fact, they're in bed with the deep state. Let me give some good spiritual edification. Number one, let's put things in perspective. God is in control, okay? Just remember that. And the Bible tells us in Psalm chapter 2, verse 4, that God right now is looking down on planet Earth from heaven. You know what God's doing? He's laughing. The Bible says in Psalm 2, 4, God is laughing at evildoers. Why do you think God's laughing at them? Because he knows their time is short. And any day, they're going to drop dead. They're going to stand before the presence of his throne, and he's going to judge them. And boy, oh boy, let me tell you, it's a fearful thing to stand in the presence of a living God if you die in a state of mortal sin, especially if you're Catholic. So what can you do as a Catholic on a person level? If you can't get to Mass every day, or even on Sundays for whatever reason right now, make sure you're praying, doing spiritual communion. This comes from St. Alphonsus of Liguori. This is the tradition of the church. Go on the internet, learn the spiritual communion prayer. And as you pray it, imagine and think that you're receiving Jesus Christ in Holy Communion every day. You could see him mystically coming in. Also, do an act of contrition every night. And remember, the church teaches, this is old time teaching, that if you do a perfect act of contrition, get that, out of love for God, you could even have mortal sin forgiven. So with the caveat that you go to a priest as soon as possible to make satisfaction on that act of contrition. But nonetheless, an act of contrition, even an imperfect act of contrition, forgives venial sins. So let's make sure that we're doing an act of contrition every night. Another thing that I'm doing every day, been doing it for a long time, but especially now, my rosary every day. This is essential, essential. My divine mercy every day. And throughout the day, make sure you put yourself on a schedule, as it says in Daniel chapter 6, verse 11, morning, midday, and evening. Pray in the morning, pray in the afternoon, the Angelus, and pray in the evening prayers. And remember this, all of us are going to die. And if you die in a state of grace, heck, death is a positive option. If you die in a state of grace, death is a positive option. And remember, there's nothing you can do. I don't care if you wear two or three masks on your mouth. There's nothing you can do to extend your time on planet Earth even one day, according to our Lord Jesus Christ in Matthew chapter 6, 25. Okay? Your days are numbered. My days are numbered. Psalm 139, verse 16. Job chapter 14, verse 5. Our days are numbered. It doesn't matter how much you work out, what you eat, and all that stuff, or if you wash your hands or wear a mask, your days are numbered. So live by faith. Don't live by fear. Jesus says, don't worry about those that can kill the body. Only fear God who can kill the soul. Reuben?
Amen, man. And Ephesians 5:11 says, take no part in the unfruitful works of darkness, but instead expose them. And we're also called to, as Proverbs 31 says, 31 verse 8 and 9, open your mouth for the mute, for the rights of all who are destitute. Open your mouth. Judge righteously. Defend the rights of the poor and the needy. So if we think that we're hurting at this time, how about those that have less than we do? This, especially this Christmas, you know, there's going to be people out on the streets that, You know, I'm going to be cold.
Have less than we do.
Yeah. Have a hot meal. So let's consider, let's doing works of, you know, works, corporal works of mercy. And,
amen.
You know, fulfilling what Jesus said in Matthew 25. So we've got to, we're going to be judged by our works. Okay. So.
Yeah. Don't believe in the Protestant heresy. We're saved by faith alone. That's a heresy. Our works are going to be measured at the judgment.
That's right. So remember, live your faith, love your faith, share your faith, and, you know, be that beacon of light for those who are less fortunate, those who have lost their way. And be the reason why somebody comes back to the church this Christmas. All right, let's be that, you know, that leader that we're being called to be. Okay, so we all have family members that have left the church. Let's bring them back. Let's get them, you know.
Yeah, amen.
Let them know that hey, we don't have to be watching the mass on TV. Let's get back to mass, you know, even if you have to be outside, let's get out there, get back to the mass, receive the sacraments. You can't receive Amen. Watching it on YouTube or whatever.
Well, Ruben, also just, you know, if you like what you hear, then like us, hit the subscribe button, hit the bell to be notified and share this show with others, because we aspire to inspire until we expire. And while doing the show, who knows, we may even perspire. Ruben, take it away.
All right. Remember, this Sunday at the cathedral from 12 to 2, we'll be there. And we're asking for the church to be open. Okay, there's no reason. They've run out of excuses. Okay, we're not a super spreader when we go to Mass. No more than when you go to Costco. All right? There's no super evidence spreader. Of that. Jesse, so let's be a spreader of the faith. That's what we need to be, a spreader of the faith. Listening to Jesus 911, stay tuned for Hands-On Apologetics with Gary Mashuda. We are 10-7.
We are out.
Take care, Jess.
All right.